Lord, now let the words of my mouth and the meditations of all of our hearts be acceptable to you, our rock and our redeemer. Amen. One of my preaching heroes, Fred Craddock, told this story from his Appalachian boyhood. One night in the summer, he and his father were out in the backyard, and little Fred was lying on his back looking up at the stars. His father said to him, "Son, how far can you think?" "I don't know. What do you mean?" "Just think as far as you can think, up toward the stars." Fred says, "I screwed my imagination down and said, I'm thinking as far as I can think." His father said, "Well, in your mind, drive down a stake out there now. Have you driven down the stake? That's how far you can think." Fred said, "Yes, sir." His father said, "Now, what's on the other side of your stake?" Fred said, "Well, there's more sky." His father said, "Move your stake." Craddock says he and his dad spent the evening moving that stake further and further outward. There are times in most every life when something like that has to happen for us, when the boundaries of our thinking get moved to a further or deeper place. That's what education is for. Good teachers keep saying to us, "Move your stake." It's what parents and churches want to help their children experience. Sometimes it's what a crisis will do, forces us to reach past our old assumptions and certainties. But there doesn't have to be a crisis. There doesn't have to be a teacher. Out of nowhere, sometimes it can come, this stirring suspicion in us that there is more for us to understand now, more for us to do, more to imagine. The sense that it's time and past time for taller dreams and a larger scope of concerns for our living. Sometimes we feel this rising desire to get past our present understanding and commitment. I believe that this is the never-ending project of our lives. We're here to grow up, to grow in character, compassion, curiosity, generosity, friendship, wisdom, gratitude, faith, commitment to living the truth. Imagine you are looking up at the sky and somewhere out there driving down a stake at the limits of what you can think and be. How much you can love. Now what's on the other side of that? Move your stake. In the New Testament epistle to the Ephesians, there's a prayer for this. "I pray that God may grant you to be strengthened in your inner being with power, as you're being rooted and grounded in love, that you may have the power to comprehend what is the breadth and length and height and depth, and to know the love of Christ that surpasses knowledge, so that you may be filled with all the fullness of God." That is a very tall prayer. To comprehend the breadth and length and height and depth and be filled with the fullness of God? Good heavens. Why such a towering prayer for us? Because we were born for nothing less. Church people say that Jesus died for the sins of the world. All right, yes. But that is the barest beginning of it. The meaning of the cross of Jesus is not so small as forgiveness. It isn't bound to the pale and sickly issue of our guilt. It is for the towering issue of our high purpose in the world, freeing us for it, joining us to each other for it, joining us to God and to God's vision for us all to live into the breadth and length and height and depth of our calling. And it's sadly not an easy thing for us even to think about. We inhabit a culture that is in love with surfaces. Shallow times, breeding shallow people, with shallow values, shallow perceptions and commitments, shallow politics, and too often shallow churches. We sometimes marvel at how different we are from each other without seeming to notice how alike almost all of us are in lacking much depth. Thank you. And the stuff is contagious. When other people are small to us, we respond with what? Smallness. And if we are surrounded by the superficial, where do we get help for something better? How many incentives really do we have and inspirations do we have to do some serious growing up? I wonder how many millions of people have had magnificent potential for living alert, compassionate, generous, inspiring lives, but did not because they couldn't escape the great downward pull of conforming to everybody else's way. But conforming isn't the only threat to the stature of our living. Maybe we did fight back, and maybe you truly wanted better for your world and for your soul, and you still do, and you've worked toward it, but it has been falling apart. The system was too much, or your surroundings were too oppressive. Maybe you did wrong, or someone else did wrong. Or someone died, and others faded away, and the world broke your heart. Or less dramatically, maybe we simply got swallowed up inside the thicket of demands and distractions of daily living, and never even noticed we'd stopped asking big questions. Reading worthwhile books, offering fervent prayers, having important conversations, strengthening our friendships, giving better gifts, seeking deeper communion with the world and with God. We forgot the growing, greening edges of our faith, our minds, our love. This is not to say that we have to be growing all the time. No one gets by without some dormant seasons. You are permitted. We fall down, we're knocked down or weighed down. We need rest to recover, to lie fallow for a while. But Christ never stops calling us into his greatness, and the Spirit is able to refresh us for it and infuse us with new energies for it. The great Ephesians prayer for our maturity concludes with a ringing benediction now to the one who is able by the power at work in you to do far more abundantly than all we can think or even imagine. So whatever else might befall us, whatever reasons we may find for giving up, we make this vow that we will keep returning to tending the fire of the soul, seeking the Spirit's lively help, looking toward higher concerns, digging deeper and deeper down for the greater love. It is dangerous to postpone this too long. Margaret Atwood, in her novel Cat's Eye, portrays a talented artist who kept putting off a decisive expression of his gift. On and on, he was reluctant, he was fearful, passive, until one day he discovered to his horror that his real gift had left him. Atwood sums it up. Potential has a shelf life. I think she's right. Our capacities to care, to act, to imagine, to commit, these are supple things and vulnerable, and if unexercised long enough, they atrophy. And so there's an urgency to the question of who we are becoming. In a way, the issue of whether or not we grow up is a life or death question. Because the world is dying of smallness. The world is dying of small minds, shallow obsessions, grotesquely stunted conviction. A world under assault is waiting for greatness, for communities of spiritual stature, for people of moral depth, for young people and old who live toward the long, long, beautiful commitments of justice, reconciliation, and peace. Jesus walked the earth for this. Everything he did and said and continues to do and say is toward our enlargement for living, trusting, giving, hoping. He makes us free from the endless tiny orbit of our own self-obsession, the pettiness of our resentments, the smallness of fear and of arrogance, the smallness of greed, the smallness of a finished religion. Christ is calling us to the breadth and length and height and depth of God's concerns, love and justice, faith and mercy, resurrection and life. I love these words from a poem by Rilke. God speaks to each of us as he makes us, and then walks with us silently out of the night. These are the words we dimly hear. You sent out beyond your recall. Go to the limits of your longing. Embody me. flare up like flame and make big shadows I can move in. Let everything happen to you, beauty and terror. Just keep going. No feeling is final. Don't let yourself lose me. Nearby is the community they call life. You will know it by your seriousness. Give me your hand. For God's own sake, for the sake of the world, for your own dear soul's sake, let this be what you know. That life is miraculous and brief and brilliant with possibility. There is a holy calling laid upon your life. Let the size of it get hold of you and stretch you in all faithful directions. May the massive love of Christ dwell in your hearts and the current borders of your understanding be blown away. And so may you reach the end of your journey just amazed at how far you came. And also awestruck by how far there still is to go.